Welcome to the Zainab Kanu Show, where we empower motherless daughters to change, to grow, and to heal. My name is Zainab, and I am your host. Thank you for joining me. Please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss an episode. Make sure to share, comment, so I know what you would like more of. I want to know what you want me to produce more of. So please, again, make sure to like, comment, share, and also hit the subscribe button. Download this episode and share. Today is a fabulous episode. On this episode, we are going to talk about leveling up mentally, how you can shift your mindset, how you can go from I can't to yes, I can. So stay tuned. Thank you so much.
Thank you for featuring me. I was so honored. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I have been reading your stuff. I've been following you for a minute. And I'm just like so amazed by like just the content that you have and the things that you're saying, the inspiration that you're trying to give people to just really work on their mindset. And I'm like, I need to talk to her.
I always tell once you master your mindset, you become like unstoppable. Like yes. It literally starts, it leads to basically really understanding your heart, because the heart is where everything really starts to really flourish and the magic happens in that area. But it can't hear it if the mind's all like kind of not there yet. So it's like the mind has to be okay for the heart to be open to speak, right? Because the heart will just sit and wait there, right? And again, it's a whole science behind it. So I love studying about mindset. I love studying about just the physical and energy body, like how they work together and the science behind it. So not only are we talking like the woo-woo spiritual, we're right. Actually backing it up, and science is now figuring that out, whereas we already knew this, right? So
this is interesting.
I'm so happy you reached out. I'm just gonna put on my
hand. Oh my gosh, I have been looking forward to it. I just you know, my podcast, even though I'm in the process, I'm talking to someone to help me figure out if I want to just have it for my motherless daughters or if I just want to extend it to everyone. So I'm in the process of working on that right now. So introduce yourself. We started the conversation. You just started off
real quick. I know.
Yeah. Introduce yourself. Tell the audience like what you do and how you can be reached.
All right, so my name is Sambra Marudan, and I am an NLP practitioner as well as a certified life coach. And I work with women all around the world. I mentor them, you know, and I work with them. Any woman that is tired of suffering, is tired of being tired, is ready to heal, ready to basically heal and release trauma that's, you know, in their body and leave the past in the past. Anyone who's ready to basically create, you know, break toxic relationships, break out of that cycle and start basically cultivating self-love in their life, is, you know, I help them with all of that. And I give them the tools, the guidance, the mindset, the subconscious, you know, sort of programming, and basically everything you need to heal. Physically, experientially, like these are things that I can speak to. And I think when for me, that's why it was very hard to find who to serve, because it's every woman wants to strive for that sort of, they're tired of feeling tired.
I know that feeling.
And as women, we had to really, really, like, compared to, I mean, I'm not trying to compare men and women, but a fact is that we have to work harder. And we have for many centuries to really, really, like, we do all the work and we have to also prove it. We're constantly having to prove ourselves, not only to the outside world, but also within our own families. Like, we're constantly having to want to please. And be that person who has to be that better person. You know what I mean? Whereas we almost become unaligned because of that. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to, as a woman, like, these are things I struggled with, and I definitely helping women to basically do that and find that sort of fire within them, break, you know, ancestral sort of beliefs that have been carried generational karma. That has been carried, because a lot of what we go through isn't even ours. If you look at your whole family history, you see a pattern, and you're just like, whoa, why is this? And it's a fact, like, they've proven it. So it's like working on how do you stop it? You're not going back and curing everyone, but you stop it with you. And that, it starts from the mind, the heart, you know, and there's so much into it. And I mean, this is the work I do with the women that I work with. And just finding their purpose, finding their why. Like, why is it that they want to feel amazing? Why is it that they want to wake up every day and just want to feel fulfilled and say, you know what, I'm content and peaceful with where I'm at right now? Because the why isn't, I need to be a doctor, I need to be a lawyer, I need to be, no. The why is more, how do I want to feel every single day? How do I want to feel in my body every single day? Because that feeling will generate and attract exactly what it is that matches it. So it's simple as that. You don't need to go out there and look for it and work very hard for it. You're gonna take action, of course, but you have to be also matching that within your body. Your mindset, your heart, your energy has to match what it is you're looking to get back from the world, right?
Thank you for that vulnerability, yeah. For sharing, you know, because I, this is what I tell people. I am over trying to be perfect. I am over trying to make another woman feel awful about themselves by me being some type of, I'm over all of that. I just want to be authentic. I want to be in a real space where I get to be me. Whenever I get to be me, and being me means that I feel free. There is no, I'm not in fear of judgment.
Yes. And
for me,
yes.
When I'm able to have that, I can thrive. Yes. But if I cannot have that, I have to be someone else so you can like me. That becomes an issue because I'm not going to want to be around you.
Yeah. Authenticity is a big value for me it is. But it's very hard to achieve because we are authentic. Like, I'm honest with you, I'll tell you, and we think that's authenticity. But authenticity is if you are one way this way, and then you're a different way another way, that can automatically tell the mind, the brain, that you're two different people. And it taps into that, right? So you think you're doing, I'm like, I'm not hurting anyone. Like, you know, I'm here, I'm presenting myself. Even when I talk, like, okay, it's rehearsed and I can rehearse it. You've already conditioned the mind to say, when I'm in this place, I'm going to be this way. It automatically sees you as two different people. So even when you want to be what you want to be in your own life, you can't, because that's where the other side comes out, right? Because you're like, and you're trying your best to say, how can I be like this everywhere? So authenticity is truly aligning yourself where it's within, where you're getting it from within you, that what you just said right there, it's like really truly feeling that fulfillment, you know, and not depending on external sources to give you that sort of, that fulfillment.
That validation.
That validation and the comparison of comparing yourself. That's a big one for women because we constantly had to fight one, being women made to be against
each other.
Yeah, women against you, because it's like you are fighting against, like, that sort of, you are, you know, like you're a minority, not even a minority, but you're lesser than the other gender. You know, you're all constantly, and even as centuries were passing, coming, as we were going through the centuries, we had to prove ourselves. We had to fight. Like, you look at all this history in every country where women had to, you know, go into government, go into law, going into these careers. Like, they had to really work very hard. So they ended up really becoming more masculine, like taking that role. And then you start to now feel like you're always guarded, because if yes. you let your guard down, someone's going to take that away from you. And you've worked very hard. And as us right now, I don't think we have to work very, I mean, we work hard still. It's sad that that's still mm-hmm. a reality, but not as hard as, you know, looking at our ancestors back in the days. But it's still something we've carried on through generations. So every family will have it either stronger or less, right? So it's so important to know our roots as well. When we really can understand why we are the way we are through our roots, it just changes everything. It really, it gives you that humility to and gives you that opportunity to say, yeah, some of this isn't even mine. Like, some of this isn't even mine. A majority of it isn't even mine. And it gives you that sort of, like, that sort of in your mind, in your body, like, even just that confirmation that I can change this if it doesn't belong to me. Now, that's where, of course, the coaching comes in and the healing comes in, and you may need the support to help you get through that, because it's work, right? But that work is worth it, because the next generation after, so our daughter's daughters will not have to fight like this, because we've already done the work for them. That is what our purpose is really as women.
And that's what I'm trying to dive in. But in order for any woman to acquire what we are at this level of having that freedom of not walking to a room and seeing another female and saying, this is my enemy, or, you know, I'm competing against her and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Having to let that die and just be able to be you and be authentic and be a resource for another woman.
Mm-hmm. And it's
it gives me a level of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
And a level of peace as well for me. So it's a little different. I'm really grateful for that. I actually have to just
and that's because of the work you did. It's self-confidence. When you are confident and content with who you are, all of it, inside and out, you're content with that. You're confident and you know that you're enough.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you know, in the core, I'm enough. I can walk in a room and not even see it and not even feel it. Like, you're not even trying. You're not even trying to do it. You're just automatically vibrating that essence that, you know what? You have your lane, I have my lane, and I'm good with that. And I'll wave at you as I'm going by, and you may go ahead of me, and I'll look at you and say, oh my God, look at how great she's doing. She's going. Like, and you're content with that, because you know your lane takes you there as well, right? So it's that sort of, like, yeah. So it's the self-confidence and building that. And that's where the foundation of self-love. Self-love is, I think, the foundational vibration, that frequency. When you vibrate that, you emit it not only within yourself but outside of you without even having to try. So that, you working on self-love, and that takes work, because we have been taught to find find love outside of us. Society has taught us that. We've been brought up with that belief, you know, like, you can't, you even have standards, like, you need to be this way. I've had friends that would say, I want a partner that has this, or else. One of your questions was, how do you know when a mindset change is needed? One of those is
the first question I have. We haven't even gotten into that, because we just jumped into it.
We just got into it.
In the beginning,
it goes right into it, right? Because that's one of them. It's, do you see a repeated pattern of that negative, you know, results that you're getting in your life? Are you seeing a pattern with that? Like, really stopping and being curious and being the observer of your own life. Sitting down and taking time and sitting down and saying, you know what, I'm noticing a pattern here in my career, in my relationships, in the way, you know, like even in my friendships, anything that you can go back and say, and then looking beyond, more back when it comes to your own family, looking at your mother, looking at your aunts, looking at, you know, even your uncles, like any male can be one that has that could have, you know, you picked up from, right? So anything that, even your own father, right? So it's like, you want to take a look at that and say, where is this coming from? And I'm telling you, that's the awareness of it. And it starts with that. And when you are aware, then now you know where to clean.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So for someone that has been dealing with the same issues over and over and over again, yeah. And I'm going to speak from my personal box. Mm-hmm. I could not maintain a relationship with anyone. I was always either angry or upset. I always would be easily offended. I would just be picking up people's problems and making them my own when literally some of them had nothing to do with me. I would just have issues everywhere. And from that, I don't know, I got tired of having the same experience with different people. Yes. So that is what triggered a change for me. So it sounds like that's what you're talking about. So if any of you are experiencing the same issue over and over and over and over again, with different faces, same character, different faces, yeah. Same character, that means that it's something in you. I don't know. Somebody said that when you're experiencing the same thing over and over again, that means that you missed the lesson that you were supposed to learn the first time.
Exactly.
And God is so amazing that He will present it again and again and again and again until you learn. And I must say, since I decided to work on my mind, the process has been quite long, and it probably will be a lifetime thing that I will always have to do, because where the basis trauma is kind of hard, you're always going to have to, for me, I have to remother myself, and I have to constantly seek healing because the trauma is always there. But now I know it's what happened to me. And the difference is, it's not happening to me now. It's the past. It happened. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in control of my life. So, I mean, I think that hopefully you guys picked that up from her when she's saying, if you're constantly experiencing the same things with different people, not being able to maintain a relationship. One of the issues that I had is forgiveness. Honey, I used to just harbor things, man. I used to just harbor it like, oh, you said that about me? I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, and that's
really not, right?
Yeah.
It's okay if somebody doesn't like you. It's okay if somebody says something about you that you don't like. You know, sometimes I've learned to allow people to get to know me without pressure, without force, and you'll be surprised.
Yeah. And forgiveness is one of those things where it's one of those, when you start learning lessons, one of the main things is that you need, forgiveness is a big part of it. Because, you know, the fear, it comes out. So it's like the anger, and then the anger always is an emotion that's masking some sort of other emotion that's underneath it, whether it's the fear or the sadness or, you know, it's always a cover up. So once that anger has been released out of it, then you start to bring up what you need. Now, you talked about like when it comes to really working with the mindset, but we have to also remember that the mind has to work with the body. So it's not just the one entity where you're working with your limiting beliefs. Okay, I'm going to reprogram them. I'm going to read affirmations. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take some peace and quiet where I can, you know, the self-care part of it, right? So it's the self-love is actually saying, I want a relationship. I want to cultivate love. I want to not look at someone and always feel like they're against me or they're coming to attack me. So it's really, really saying, you know what? I want to feel. So coming back to your body, because remember we talked about earlier, the mindset is just the secondary sort of like, this is controlled by the energy body. The heart is where it all lies, right? So when you are focusing on this will help it. But it's the heart that's speaking and sending that signal into the brain, because most of the time you're going to get a sensation in the body and a feeling, and then all of a sudden the old thoughts come to happen. I remember reading somewhere, it's called those automatic negative thoughts, like those ants that come up. It's like a constant story that you say to yourself over and over and over again. And then it manifests outside of you, where you look at people and you're just like, every single person you feel is going to attack you. So that's where it comes down to the forgiveness part of it, is like people that hurt you, you're not forgiving them, you're forgiving for the sake of them, you're forgiving for the sake of you, because it's now impacting everything else in your life. It's impacting you from actually creating a loving relationship with somebody else. It's like in the way, and you're carrying it with you. It's like, I always say, imagine rocks in a bag, and you're like holding, and it's bearing you down. Mm. And just take it off and put it down and say, I don't need this anymore. And it's not worth me continuing to basically prove to you. It's like, you know, continuing to feel this and allowing you to stay within me rent free. Like it's like, where's your value? You find yourself, where's your worth? And right away, forgiveness, because we say all the time, yeah, I've forgiven, but I'm never going to forget. Have you heard that line? You really are keeping, because forgiveness, to feel anger, all these are emotions that sit in the body. Once you process them, they're no longer there. So that's where you feel that contentment, that sort of like, even when you think about that person that was your abuser, that person that hurt you, that person that really did have an impact, because trauma can be as simple as a fender bender, right? You automatically don't get a sensation in the body. So as soon as you notice that, that's a good sign that you're healing, you've healed through that, or you've at least started the healing process. So mind and the body and the heart, the energy body, has to work together. It has to work together. So, but when you work with one, it automatically starts to affect the other one. But when you affect the other one, it starts to bring up stuff that you need to address, that you need to process. And that can be something that happened in your childhood. Remember, the beliefs that we are brought up with are from people who cared. And if you were orphaned as well, I'm assuming.
No, I wasn't orphaned. So with me, right. I just, my mom just didn't want me. For someone like myself and a lot of my audience is, we did not get those messages. The messages that we got, like for me, I can speak for myself. For my mom is, I didn't even want you. Like, so when, you know, these messages being told to you as a kid, your foundation, which you grew up with, is that you are not enough. You grew up with feeling like no one values you, because the one person that brought you into this world that you were supposed to bond with and love you cannot love you or refuses to love you. And here you are, just unsure. So now, even if someone shows you love, you're like, well, wait, is that real? Because I'm not deserving of this.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That doesn't make sense. Like, well, what do they want? I'm always like, before, I was always very skeptical of people thinking that they wanted something, because when my mother would show me love, she needed something for me.
Wow.
Yes. So I kind of correlated, like, okay, if someone is the same way to me, well, they must want something. There's something that I need to give them. And I had to earn her love every step of the way. But I just came to realize, I had an aha moment, like probably a couple of days ago, actually, where I said to myself, it doesn't make sense. The love that I have for my child is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's tremendous. So how can I love my child that much? And then how can someone give birth to a child and not connect with them? Yeah. That has nothing to do with me. My Absolutely. Mother not being able to love me has nothing to do with me. And this is the message that I'm trying to send to people. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with her as a mother. And if your mother doesn't know how to love you, that's because there's a part of her that she doesn't love.
Yes. And also, she has a story as well that she has been through. So whatever she learned, and she's working with only the tools that she has.
Yes, yeah.
So in a way, that's a good way to start too. It's that sort of having compassion, not in a way where it's that, oh my goodness, I have to feel sorry for everyone and every abuser and every molester. No. You're looking at it in a perspective of like, they how could they know any better if they did not get that themselves?
Yeah.
How could you learn? It's like, I'm going into a career, I'm going into a job, and I'm not being trained to know it. If I, you know what I mean? Like, you're not given the tools to understand how to work with it, right? And how to know even how that even feels like. So for her, you're looking even for women, looking even at their mother's story, looking at their caregiver's story, and saying, you know, what really happened to this person that they actually can abandon a child, their own flesh and blood. Like that there's a story there. It doesn't just happen, you know, because we're born. We're created from a source of love, you know, the divine. We're created from a source of love. We are love. So that is something that's been taught. That's been something that the innocence that's been stripped out. And again, not to condone anyone's behavior, but going back to what you were saying, is it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. I refuse to believe that.
No, and you know what's interesting? It's that people say to me all the time, goes, well, how come, you know, you have a parent or a guardian that is very abusive, and then yet when you have your own children, you're doing everything that's complete opposite. So I always say that human beings have two paths that they can take. They can either choose to take the one that is basically going to be that they see that is completely different, because they don't want any other human being to suffer the way they did. Right? So there's that sort of like, I make a vow. But then you also know that when they're going in there, they're going with that baggage still. Like, you can't change an environment and take the same thing with you and expect that it's just going to disappear or run away. You have to know, as you're going through that journey, it's good you've taken the first step, but at the same time, understanding that this is something that happened to me, and I accept it, and I will moan it, and I will cry, but then I will thrive from it. And I think that's just the part where people get stuck in the survival mode, where we're surviving as we go every single day. We're surviving and we're like, yeah, but I'm taking care of my child. I'm an amazing mom. And you are. But with what cost? There's an expense there. It's like you're somehow being depleted because there's nothing there that's filled up within you.
I have empathy in a sense that something has got to be wrong. It's not normal for you to be incapable of giving love and experiencing love. Something has got to be truly broken on the inside of you for you to be for you to inflict that much pain on another person, especially a child. You cannot be normal. Like, there's no way any mother can be normal when they do not know how to love their own child. In my mother's case, and all the other, my audience, the ones that I've emailed, right, and all that I talk to, I think that some of them are like, I'm afraid to become a mom because I don't want to be my mother.
Yeah.
But I just want to let them know, just like what you said a minute ago, is we all have choices. And some people, it requires courage, and some people don't have that. A lot of times people are terrified of the unknown. For me, when I wanted to go on this journey, I mean, we're talking about maybe 10 years ago, I started realizing something was wrong, and I started wanting to change and work on myself. I did not know what avenue to take initially, but I was consistent in wanting that change because it didn't make sense. It didn't feel right. And I didn't want to inflict that on my child. Yeah. So I'm just an example to let you know, like, hey, if you want to have a child, go ahead and have a child. You don't have to be like your mom. My mother was awful. Mean. The worst things that you can say to a child has been said to me. However, I don't do that to my child. As a matter of fact, when I started practicing self-love, I took care of my trauma and all the nonsense issues I had and decided to clean myself up. I even fell in love more with my son when I was able to take care of myself from the inside out. Yeah. So you have an option. You are that powerful. I always tell you that you're powerful enough to know, hey, I can create the life that I want. Now, my next question is, what was the process like for you? What are some of the challenges that you experienced when you decided, like, I am going to change my life. I'm not going to repeat these generational curses.
Yeah. So when I realized, for me, coming into, like, and I think what really hit me was when I had my children, right? When I had my children, and it was like an automatic switch within me where I just was feeling a lot of, I hit rock bottom, where I was feeling very unhappy, like to the point where it was like fear of living, fear to be within my own skin. Like that's how much it accumulated within me. And I, for me, I had a lot of trauma even. So from when my parents passed away. So, I mean, long story short, like there was a lot of that sort of like being made to be reminded that who I was, like where my place was, even in the household. I was always reminded, like, you know, you know, and it's not just within my household. It's just always like I attracted people that always reminded me that I was not worthy, that they were doing, not even the words worthy, but you're lucky that we're looking after you. Nobody wanted you. We took you. Now, looking at it now, I look at that and I say they were actually trying to, they believed in their hearts that they were actually doing it from a place of love. That look at you're lucky that you have me, you know, that sort of, but they've also been told those same lines when they were growing up, right? Now, 10 years ago, I would not even have, like right now, I was angry. I had anger that was that was oozing out of me, you know, and then right beneath it was this inner child that was stuck in that place because I couldn't be a child from the age of 6. I had to grow up. I had a sibling. My younger sister was 15 months younger than me. And it was like that sort of like we had to look after each other. Now, all that, fast forward to now, after I have my children, it's like I had everything. I had the partner that I wanted, and he's beautiful. And then I had my children, exactly created and manifested everything I wanted because I said, I'm going to prove to everybody that I am worth it. But I was coming from a place of anger, a place of I need to prove to you what I'm capable of, not to prove to myself. So I got there, had my children, I had everything. I had a house. Now what? My body said, now you're done doing this. We need this out of you. Because where I was going to be a mother is a high vibration. I had to be 100%. And remember, these beings are coming from a place of love. And it's going to give you signals saying you gotta fix yourself up because they've chosen you and you need to be 100% for them. So that was a wake. So a lot of people that shut down and they hit rock bottom, everyone's gone through that. They will not translate it as I need to wake up and do something for myself. Instead, they'll numb it with tranquilizers. They'll numb it and they'll go to people and they'll tell them and they'll keep repeating the story over and over again. This is where therapy becomes a little bit of where people go over and over because they're constantly repeating that story over and over again. They're not given the how to live it, right? So, and for me, this is where I found healers that actually taught me not only what was really going on within me, but also how to do and become how to basically help myself, empowered me with the tools so that I can do it every day. And you said it really nicely earlier, it's work and people don't want to work. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they don't want, the brain is very lazy. It doesn't want to learn something new. It doesn't want to learn to love. It's just like, yo, we've been okay with this. We survived. We know the tools. We know we've been here before and we've survived. Why are we changing it up again? We don't know what's on the other side of that mountain. It literally thinks that you're going to die. So this is where people get stuck and they stop and then they don't move forward. So they numb it. So for me, it was like, it hit me. And then through that it was guided me to basically just be able to, you know, so really accepting the thoughts that were going through my mind. Like, mm-hmm. what are the thoughts that are living in here? So, and again, support was so important to me. I would not have learned this stuff without the support. You are sending a signal to the universe saying that I am worth it and I'm going to pay for this healing. And the universe will conspire and say, I will help you as well. Yeah. So these are things, it's more being aware with what, so I had to acknowledge what was actually going on in my head. So being the observer of my thoughts. So, and things like, what am I saying? What language do I have going on in there? The self-doubt, you know, that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy, you know, limiting beliefs from other people like that, you know, that I can't even make, like, I can't make money. I'm not good with money. Or I can't lose weight. I'm always going to be like this. I'm looking in the mirror and I see myself as ugly. Like, so these, I had to stop and look at all that. I'll be like, holy crap. Like, you know, like you're eavesdropping in a nice, interesting conversation. You're doing that in your mind. You're actually listening to yourself. That is the first thing I did. And soon as I was able to, and usually I recommend have a journal and write it all down. Take time every day while you're going through this healing process, the self-healing, and say, I'm going to be curious about the thoughts that I'm running on a regular basis, because it is a recording in that. And then it's like, you want to then, once you figure that out and you're noticing a repetition in the thoughts, you want to switch it. I always say, switch the process. So you're turning the switch now. How can, for every line that I say that's negative, how can I reframe it to a positive? Because now the more you, it's like what you're doing is you're creating new neural pathways in the brain. It's like highways that you're now building that now will reroute you to those sort of beliefs. The old beliefs will always be there. It's just, you're not wanting them to be playing over and over again. You're going to archive them now. You know, you're going to thank them for serving you when it needed to be served. They served you in a time when you needed to survive. So thank them for that. So you know what? Fear is your friend. It served you at one time. So don't be afraid of it. You know, fear, anxiety, that anger served you too, because it was because of that anger that woke you up that, oh my God, I need to make a change. There's a quote from Louise Hay that says, you cannot know where to clean if you can't see where the dirt is. Once you find that dirt, then you'll know exactly where to clean. Get curious about you and sit back and look at yourself, observe yourself like you're looking at, you have a bird's eye view. Oh my God, like that's an ugly person right there. Like, not in a judgmental way, but I don't want people thinking of me this way. Why am I doing this to other people? Why am I doing this to myself? And then also another thing I also want to give as a tip is always go back to, because when you're in this stage, you're already like, the reasoning is because you're going somewhere higher and you want to go there. You want to create either, you know, you want to create a beautiful career, or you want to start a business, or you want to have children, you know, you want to go into a relationship. And that's automatically, that is always vibe, because it's all love, right? It's all right. It's all good stuff, right? Because it makes you feel, and how you know it's good stuff, because you're excited about it. But so that's going to trigger a lot of what needs to stay back, that needs to be cleared up before you go there, because it's a frequency. You have to match it. You can't match that frequency if you're vibrating low here.
You know, there's something that I just want to give an example to the audience that you talked about, because I just had this happen to me, and where it's like you're an observer of your thoughts, of, you know, your thinking, whatever is going on in your mind. Mm-hmm. And that is, a couple of days ago, I think this was actually on Sunday, Mother's Day, I was in the bathroom. I just came home from work and I was just not feeling my best. Something happened. And you know how your mind is just one little thing that happens and it started going down. And I started having these bad thoughts towards myself. And let me tell you guys something. I've never been so proud of myself.
Amazing.
I was in that shower and I said, wait a minute, Zainab, why are you thinking like that? That's not a good thought. Don't think like that.
You were the observer. And that's an exercise I work with my clients, is that sort of, we do it. So for me, it's like putting it in a way where you see it, it's the thought, and you're looking, it could happen from a feeling and then the thought happens. So it's like where the egg and the chicken, what comes first? It could happen both ways, right? So it's more like right away you're feeling like, okay, what are my thoughts that are running in my head? Like actually you're curious of what's going on within this world, this inner world, it's alive in there, right? So when you are curious, you're calling it out. And right away it's like, oh, okay. Like it's not a part of you. It's, you're not associated to it. You're looking in and say, what, who are you? Like you're a stranger to me. Like what's going on here? And the, as soon as that's, there's no association, the brain looks at that as null and void. Like this is not ours. It automatically becomes, the with the more practice you do that, the more it becomes like non-existent anymore. As soon as they go into the brain and they kind of explore that, holy crap, like, okay, let's reframe that. As soon as they reframe it to something that's believable to them, of course, it changes the vibration in the body. Okay, I feel so much better. That's why when you talk to somebody and you let it out, automatically makes sense to you. Oh, I'm thinking differently about this now. All of a sudden, it's because you've. It's not because that person did that for you. You changed your perspective of it. You changed the way you thought about it. You're like, yeah, I am grateful for what I have. You know what? I have evidence. I've always survived things, and now I'll survive this too. This too shall pass. Right away, you've looked at the situation in a different way. Because you change the thought process, that thought changed the vibration in the body, that feeling that you have.
So what happens when someone is in a toxic environment and they want to change their mind? Because for me, I had to remove myself from the situation in order for me to achieve a change of mindset.
Right.
So the environment. Is that possible for you to be in that same situation with the same people and still be able to change your mind? How does that work?
So to an extent, now you have to also look at it and say, you know what? Why am I in this environment? Why do I feel like I have to stay here? Because we have a choice to go wherever we want to go. You have a choice to feel how you want to feel. What is the secondary gain that you're staying there? Whenever you look at situations where people are in relationships or in a job that they don't like, they're feeling abused, what is the secondary gain that you're getting from it? I don't deserve any better than this. What if I don't find another job? What if, you know, oh, it's going to be the same thing if I go to another job? You know, you've already, it comes down to your self-worth, right? You know, even in family, the biggest one I get is like, oh, I can't run away from my own family. I can't get away from them, right? Like that's like, that they're my family. You have a choice to set boundaries. You have a choice to that. You're not cutting ties. You want to basically accept them as is, because again, we go back to what we said earlier, it has nothing to do with you. They're suffering inside, and any misery loves company. When someone is suffering, they want someone else to feel that pain. And it's all subconscious. They don't know that they're doing it. But they are doing it because that suffering is hurting them so much that it emits out to someone else. Because again, it's the energy that they're emitting, that they're vibrating within themselves. That's why when you sit, when you look at a baby and they're laughing, you automatically laugh because you're pure. But you go in somewhere where there's someone that's very negative, you either have a headache or you're feeling drained, and it's that sort of sucking, and energy can be emitted up to 10 feet, right?
You just feel drained.
And the people on this who are watching that are not familiar with energy, you are energy 99%. You'll notice when you're going in and you're messed up, and then you blame others that, oh my God, they're so negative. Oh, they're looking at me. Ask yourself, rewind back before you even left your house, what the heck was going on with you? Because you are creating that reality around you. So taking ownership of what you are experiencing, taking ownership of your own experience, that is the biggest powerful like tool you can have, and it empowers you because you can actually create the reality that you want. So people say like, how can I stay? You cannot be in an environment that doesn't match what it is you want to feel, which is like say happy and love, whereas that environment is only emitting the opposite. You have to make that change. One, you decide, I create the boundaries, or I'm gonna now look for another position, something that is actually worth me, that I'm worthy of. that they can, that they can see my, not that they can see my value, that I know I love to do, you know. And if it comes to family, I'm going to create those boundaries. And I'm telling you, you are, as you said, you are going to lose people. People are going to fall off. You'll notice it'll actually create where you, all of a sudden they don't talk to you. All of a sudden they're not calling you anymore. All of a sudden, like when you automatically don't even have to do the work, the universe conspires with you because it says, oh, this is your order. Okay, this has to go. We're taking care of that. Now let's move you over there. And you're not doing much of the work when it comes to that. You're doing much of the work for yourself. You're focused only you. And that's like the most beautiful thing that you can start doing for yourself. And right away, if they're ready to match you, they will meet you there. And they are good. Because the whole goal as women, as a human being, is you want to inspire another to be also fulfilled.
To be better, to create the life they want.
Create the life they want. Because you are in living. It's that secret that you're like, I want you to know how beautiful it is on this other side. When you don't have to worry about being angry at somebody or always looking with envy or always hating and feeling like every time you look at them, you just say, oh, like they're this evil person. But looking at them with, I really feel for you. I really hope you find, and I hope God speaks through you and the way he did, the way God spoke through me, mm-hmm. the divine. And I say God because I believe in God. And that is, you know, my source. And I hope he speaks through you and you see it so that you can find the healing for yourself. But I'm moving on. And another tool is sit and meditate, sit in prayer. And I'm talking prayer like you're really talking, not because it's structured. Like this is what you do. You read this sermon. No, we're talking like you're really, really in tune. You've got time that you've set to speak to your best friend, to speak to your creator, the one that takes care of you. There are things that we cannot control. It takes, like, you know, you're supported and you're sitting there and having this conversation. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what's in here that needs to leave me, that needs to heal, that I need to learn from. Sometimes I know, because a lot of questions will come up. Well, how do I know what I need to heal? Ask your body, it will tell you. That's where your soul taps in and your soul speaks okay. through, the divine speaks through your soul. But when the problem that we've had now, we're so numbed up, we bypass that part, we go right into the pain body, which triggers us to go and get medication to numb it. Because the body knows that you have a tool for that. So it doesn't even go straight to the energy part of it where you feel the emotions and all that. It automatically goes to the pain. Because it knows in the past you got a medicine and you numbed it, or now we're all good. Because the body just wants, the mind just wants to protect you. It's going to do everything it can to protect you. So you're training the mind to stick, you're training the body to hear those first symptoms before you even get to that pain area.
Something that you just said that was so powerful is prayer time is not just to read and do your devotional and be done. But prayer time is like you're getting to be with your best friend. You know this universe, this person, your higher power is there for you.
Your creator
is there for you to protect you, to guide you. And you're getting to spend quality time.
Yeah, it's like a non-religious relationship. Because we say religion, it's that structured organized religion. It's a non-religious relationship with your creator. I love my relationship with my creator. I come from a Muslim faith, so we have certain times in the day where I follow and I'm sitting in that mat, and that's like I get excited because like I have, it's like he's set aside time for me several times in a day for me to speak or for me to just be grateful and or for me to cry. And just sit there in a place of gratitude, in a place of, or if I need a question, I tap into that and say, please, I need your guidance. You're not asking him to take it away. You're asking him to guide you, to tell you, to guide you in the path that you're looking for. Because you have free will. You don't want to give up. You don't want to give that up. Because free will is what makes us you know, unique to any creature that's been created in this world. Like we're above even angels. That free will, and we are that important to our divine. We are that important. Look at yourself from where you are to now, like, and especially the audience, I'm sure they have come with stories. You ask yourself, how did I get through that? That wasn't just you. That was a divine support that was given to you, protected you, and it's telling you, I'm here, tell me. Let me know that I'm here. The more you know, the more you can tap into this power. So it's saying, you know what? Know that I'm here and that you have the support, and know that the more you believe it, the more you're tapped into that resource. They've done studies on the power of prayer. They've done studies. That's why meditation is so powerful, because prayer is very much meditation. Mm-hmm. It's just you're tapping into more of that sort of, it is the same thing, because you can't pray and not meditate, because you're like consciously tuned into the inner world that's going on, and also tune into a more of a realm that's not, you know, you're present, you're in this moment. So looking at if you don't have a faith, just knowing that there's a higher power beyond you that is there to protect, to support you.
Yes.
You just need to ask for it. You just need to want it.
When you were just talking about prayer, it was like so warm to me.
I love it.
I love my relationship with God, and I'm always striving to go deeper with my relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always like just wanting to be at one, at peace, to know what He wants. I want my path to be the path that He has for me, or that He wants for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your purpose, your piece of the puzzle.
Yes. So when you were talking about just having that special time with your higher power, I just hope that it resonates, like it just gets in people's brain and they digest it and understand the importance of that, because that was also part of my healing process. It's still a part of my healing process. I don't know what I would do, because a lot of times when I'm reading the word is where I will get a lot of aha moments.
Yeah.
You know, so from that, I don't know. I'm just so grateful. I really appreciate this.
You develop a personal relationship, a very non-religious personal relationship with your creator. And it's just any faith. It doesn't matter how you call it. Just knowing it's a higher power beyond you. It's the manager of this, that manages and takes care of the running of everything. And you don't have to worry about anything but you. Make sure you are living your purpose that you've come in here to fill, and you're serving the life. You're serving life however you're going to do it, whether it's in volunteering, whether it's to have children and raise amazing, beautiful human beings. We look at purpose and say, oh, I have to have a business. I have to be going out there and being Mother Teresa or being Mandela. No, you can actually do it even within your own home. You can be by basically looking after your own family and cultivating love within that family so that they can be beautiful human beings that can serve out there, because that may be your purpose, right? So just knowing that you don't have to worry about anything other than you cultivating that within you and doing your part of this puzzle, and knowing that everything else will be taken care of. You know, the moon comes up at night, the sun, and then the sun replaces it. Do you do it? No, it's done automatically. You sit there and you wonder, how is everything running? The seasons are changing. When seasons change, you'll notice the plants start to shed, and then everything starts to kind of like, okay, now we're cleaning out, and our bodies also clean out. But you wonder how, like, sit down and ask and be curious about that. How is all this happening? Miracle of life. How does an egg and a cell that you can't even see with the naked eye create a human being? It's because it is a miracle, and we are a miracle. Like we are that valuable. We're that worth it, because it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life. And when we get out of our own way and get rid of all the gunk that we're taking with us, so the forgiveness is when it comes in. How do you clear that? Is forgive. Forgive for the sake of saying, I'm staying stuck here. Look at your life 20 years down, or when you're 60 or 70 and you are sitting there with illness and looking back and saying, I had the chance to change. Like, sit there and imagine your life if you didn't make that change and you were like this today and you were this at 70 or 80. And you're feeling the same way. Just see if it's even bearable. Something's got to give. So you're just like, is this even worth it for me to take with me here? No. Okay, I'm going to forgive for the sake, for my sanity, for my health, for my life. Yeah, power of prayer, power of belief, and the faith alone, that connection will take away a lot of the fear, the anxiety that most women suffer from. They suffer from, and anxiety is not a mental, it's a feeling you feel in the body, right? So you can say, well, I don't suffer from anxiety, you know, but do you get, you know, are you constantly on the go, go, go? Are you constantly crying? Are you constantly feeling overwhelmed? Are you constantly irritable? That's anxiety. Because you can't even, you're like numbing it to the point where the body's like, whoa, you need to slow down. Because it's all the adrenaline, right? The hormones that you're releasing, that stress hormone, the cortisol. And you're triggering the amygdala consistently. You're triggering it. Like as if you're being, you know, which is like a normal. Like, you know, it was good at a time when you were going to be eaten by a tiger. But now it's even when you're going into a meeting and you're stressed, or even just being around somebody who stresses you out. And all of a sudden, boom, it's triggered. And now the body thinks you're going to die. So that's where the overwhelm comes in. That's where the heart palpitation comes in. It's because it's thinking you need to survive. You need to run. You need to either fight or you need to run. So we have to understand our bodies. And when we get in touch with our bodies and know what's actually going on in there, so staying present, understanding our thoughts, what are we telling ourselves over and over again, how we can reframe it, get into the body, understanding what we feel and what these thoughts trigger in our body, like really staying there with ourselves, having that relationship, building it. Oh my goodness, nobody, no motherfucker will freaking them. Sorry. Like honestly, they will not even, you wouldn't even think twice about them. You're like, no, yeah. Like the worth, because you're so worth it. You've so built a relationship that you're content to just be with you. Like you're okay. If anything was to happen, you are going to be okay. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel mourning. You're going to feel a bit lonely in the beginning. But life isn't supposed to be up. Like there's up and down. Pain is going to happen. Pain is part of life. It's not a bad thing. Knowing it's how long you stay there is your choice now. You don't want to stay there too long. It's the suffering that we that is not normal. You know, we leave it to a point where we suffer, and that is where it's not normal. So this is what we're at. We're targeting is just taking away that suffering, and how you do that is the mindset and the many, many other more things that you could do.
So let's say now you become aware of your negative talk, the toxicity that's going on in your brain. Mm-hmm. What type of self-talk should you have then? Let's say you notice it, like, you know, like when I notice, like, I'm having these negative thoughts, the first thing I tell myself was, that's not true. That's not going to happen. That's not real. I am good. I'm safe. I'm all right. So what things should people be telling themselves when they have these thoughts? Because it's one thing to be aware, but what do you do with your awareness?
Right. So when you have these thoughts, the first thing, and thoughts are going to happen because these are part, they've been programmed in your mind, right? So these are thoughts you've created. Remember, thoughts are a creation of you. You've created these thoughts. Nobody created them. God didn't do them. Nobody, you are the creator of your, but the good news with that is you can actually reframe it, which is a good, because you own it now, right? You cannot own something that was given to you, right? It's like you need to, you depend now on them to do that for you.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So now that's the plus of it. So you can say, oh my God, I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to think that, but it's a good thing because now you can actually change the thought process. So this is the harder part for people because they've become like that sort of, it's become automatic. The thoughts become automatic now. And sometimes it's a repeating one, right? So, oh my God, something's wrong with my body. I'm going to die, you know? And then, okay, so going back to in your mind and saying, okay, this thought, I'm going to die. And then looking around. So interrupting with a breath, because the breath is basically, it just interrupts, it resets. it resets the mind, the brain, because it sends a signal to the brain, which sends a signal to the heart. It races it a bit and then it calms it down. It's that sort of like, it's a whole mechanism that works that way. You take a deep breath in, okay, and you hold it before you like, and then you release it. So you do a few rounds of that and then looking at it and saying, okay, I have this thought that I'm going to die. You know, let's say we're using just that because end of everything is, you know, if you have an example of a thought, we can work with that. So right away and looking around your surrounding and saying, am I unsafe right now? At this moment, what is actually making me feel like I'm going to die? Oh, I feel this sensation in my arm. Oh, I'm feeling this thing that's happening right now in my arm. Oh my God, I know I'm going to die. Okay. So looking at it and saying, okay, could it be where I overexerted my arm? You know, could it be that, you know, so kind of moving it around and saying, okay, I'm going to give it some love. I'm going to send breath there. You know, like looking at the tools now you've developed mm-hmm. over time that now you can use when you are actually at that place. And then I said, and then of course another thought goes, oh no, what if it's not that? What if it is actually something serious? So, because it's going to try, your ego is going to try to tell you, you need to do something. You need to like run and get some help, mm-hmm. right? Okay, and then looking and saying, you know what? I know I'm supported. If anything, I'll go to, if this persists, I will go to this hospital and I'll get it checked out. And you can leave it at that. You don't need to look and say, I know there's support out there. I think a lot of fear, a lot of these thoughts, because the thoughts, a lot of it will trigger a lot of that sort of fear. And I'm talking just fear right now. It will trigger that is because you don't think you have the support system. As soon as you believe that there is help and that no matter what happens to you, there will be the support system around you, it gives you that ease to basically calm the nervous system, calm the brain. And that way you've already, because the key is right now is to calm the body. Mm-hmm. Because the more the body is in agony, the more the body is releasing that cortisol, the more you're going to have those thoughts. Because remember the egg and the chicken, it's going to trigger more thoughts. It's going to, I need to calm this down. As soon as my body feels calm, my thoughts are start to slow down. Okay, we're safe now. We've gotten out of the fire. Then all of a sudden you're thinking about something else. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the sensation in the arm is already gone. Right? So it's like that sort of like where, you know, even if something is really wrong with me, I know I have a support system that will help me. So you can even use your healer as a grounding thought. You can even use your children that you know, or your partner as a grounding thought. Like you can wait for him or her to come in and you can talk about it because that's helped you before. Right away, that's a grounding thought. Finding grounding thoughts that actually, and that's the next thing where you now want to find another thought that overlaps supersedes that.
Is that where our affirmations come from then? Is that, would affirmations help in that moment? Where let's say you're having a really negative thought, like you're thinking like, oh, I'm not beautiful enough, or, you know, right. I'm not smart enough or something like that. So should you repeat affirmations when you have those thoughts?
So affirmations are good if they mean something to you. The key to affirmations is they need to have a vibrational connection to your body. Again, the biggest master manager here is feelings. Your feelings basically rule everything. So end of the day, you can think a thought and not have anything affect you in the body. I can say, oh, there's COVID-19 out there and it's a virus. I don't feel anything in my body because the thought doesn't have any connection to me. It's like, but that's come with a lot of resilience through over time, through my trauma, through all of that, that I've built over time and the tools that I've been using, like the breath, mm-hmm. staying present, all of that. That's, these tools come in. Now, do I get fear and I get oh, absolutely. I do. Like there's moments I had where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. What about my children? Then right away I said, wow, old patterns are coming in. It was interesting, Sandra, that your old patterns are coming up again. So let's, you know, you're okay, you're fine. And you almost self-talk yourself to a point where, and then say, you know what? I'm in my home, that, you know, there's support out there. You know, people are doing everything they can to protect everyone else, to protect each other. You know, like they're doing, everyone's playing a part to do their work. And worst case, and I know the more work I do for myself, you know, because again, any circumstance that's negative is a vibration. So if I'm vibrating here, that stuff doesn't come near you very much, you know, like, cause it's not matching you. Right. So, and even if it comes, it falls off very quickly. So you can get like a little bug. That's why a lot of people have survived through it as well. So we hear a lot of the deaths, but there's a lot of people that have actually survived it as well. Right. So no, it's not that.
They don't talk about that as much.
No. And because media, we've been conditioned as society to live in fear, but not only as a society, our primitive brain was the first creation during the cave time, where we had to have those instincts of, when I'm walking, I'm checking everywhere to make sure there's no snake that's going to jump at me or a tiger that's going to come out of the bush. It's automatic. We go there because we've been trained and it's been conditioned within our lives. Now, the issue that's happened as we evolved, we have like three brains. So as we evolved, we're still having this primitive that taps into it. It's still needed because that's what drives our drives our urges and our sexual, like, you know, sort of like where we, you know, we want, we can go out and get stuff, you know, that sort of motivation. It's your primitive brain, it's your ancient brain, that reptile brain, right? That kind of go get it, sort of like, you know, mm-hmm. And it's needed, but it needs to be balanced so that it knows when to tap in, not all the time. It's like we haven't learned how to live, and that's why, and because of the environment we're in, the stresses that we go through, it's like the brain, it doesn't know what to do. It just knows we're in danger. It doesn't know what's real outside of us. It just knows what we're actually giving it.
So it's our responsibility to have that self-talk and have that affirmation conversation where we're reciting the affirmations, but there's a connection to what we're saying.
It needs to be connected in our as our feeling. So we're feeling as a sensor. So I am enough. So sometimes that helps if you want. And in the beginning, it may be where you may just need to start where there's no belief there because especially I'm not beautiful. I'm ugly. And we go through this, right? Mm-hmm. You start, that's why there's the therapy such as mirror, where you look in the mirror and you actually keep saying it. Sometimes you'll even cry as you say it because you're like, oh my God, I don't believe this, you know? But you do it to the point where the more, and then also music is another, so making a playlist where you're constantly feeling, raising your energy. The more you raise and the more you feel motivated and inspired, the more you will see the beauty that comes out. So now when you're looking outside, everything looks beautiful to you, including you. You know, when you're feeling good inside of you, it will project.
Yeah, that will reflect that.
You will see everyone, everything around you will look so beautiful. Like even your neighbor doing what they did, that was not, you know, to someone else would be like, yeah, they just, well, okay, so that's what neighbors do. No, to you, like, oh my goodness, I can't get over how grateful I am here.
I know.
No, like that to you, because you already, that's projection of yourself, because you are that content with you. You are that grateful with who, where you come and where you are now. And see how it manifests in things that are so simple, very, very little, that feel like the world. So, because it doesn't matter what the actual thing is. It's what you're feeling inside. That feeling is what's feeding you.
Can a person level up mentally in a state of comfortability?
So being in a comfortable situation and level up.
Yeah. So, you know, like how some people are like, I'm comfortable here, but I want to get here. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable here. And if I'm comfortable here, I'm going to stay here. But yet, this is where the envy comes, because you're comfortable, you envy that life, but you don't want to make the change because you don't want to give up your comfortability. So can you level up mentally in a state of comfortability?
Okay, so comfortability, when someone is comfortable where they are, it's a lot of fear of, again, going to that place and not knowing. It's that fear of failure or fear of actually succeeding or fear. So we get comfortable where we are and we settle because it's working for us. So remember, the mind just doesn't want to do work. It's telling you, this is where the comfortability, it tells you, look, you're comfortable. What the heck are you looking for? Just sit there. We've already done the work. You're here. We don't know what's going to happen over there. It literally, it's like the ego is that scared that it's a, the fear of it is that it's the same as you putting your hand in fire and burning it. That's how intense the ego, that's how worried it is. Like it, so it the ego is there to, it thinks it's protecting you. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal of it. It's doing it out of a place of love, like, to protect you, but not in a good way, not in a way where it's serving you, right? So mm-hmm. you know this. That's why you're like, I'm feeling envy. I feel everyone's moving ahead. I want that too.
Right.
But no, maybe, you know what, I'll just stay here. But then tomorrow, I'm sitting and I'm looking. I'm still looking and I'm still like eavesdropping and I'm still like the curiosity's there. And then I'm feeling this hate and I'm just like, ah, whatever. You know, like you start to, you'll notice yourself. Again, you're looking at yourself in that objective sort of view. Mm-hmm. And the comfortability is your way of being safe. You're safe. You're in their little bubble. You're in your little, you know, comfort zone. Mm-hmm. That's what comfort is, right? And we're not talking comfort physically, like I'm sitting on this chair and I love it. No, I'm talking comfort like in an internal state.
Right.
When it comes to up leveling. So asking yourself is, I feel comfortable here. And if you're completely content and you're like, I love it. And I'm so happy for people who want to do whatever, but I love being here. Then that's good.
Right.
That's a good, you know, but if you're looking and then you're like, you're still, you're, there's something still within you that's not fulfilled. That comfort could be something that's keeping you where you are just to play safe, just to be safe. And that's where you stop in and say, you know what, how, what's really, what do I really want? You know, do I really want to, you know, or am I looking at people and want to be like them, but I, it's not what I really want. But because you're doing great and I want to be like them, because look at your motivators too. Is your motivator to up level because you want it? Because you are ready to do that for yourself. Not because someone, your friend is actually, oh my God, they opened up a YouTube channel. I want to open up a YouTube channel. Or they opened up a podcast. I'm going to do the podcast too. You know, do you really want to do a podcast? You know, the motivator has to be very healthy and it has to be what you want. So, you know, and then when you confirm that, that this is what I really want. Oh my God, like I was inspired by this person doing a podcast. I know I can really reach out to an audience and really, really serve people this way. But I've been doing so well here. Like, I mean, is it, you know, is there a point? That's where we're talking about the comfortability is now you have to assess that and say, yeah, I think I may be playing it safe. Mm-hmm. But because every day I'm urging for more. Every day my heart's asking for more. Every day my soul is telling me to go there. But I'm so comfortable here, meaning I'm so safe here. I don't know what's going to be over there. What if I fail? What if I fall? What if I get hurt? What if you die? Is the ego saying.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful, you know, when I started a podcast, I personally didn't know anyone that had a podcast. There was no one in my life or in my circle or even in close proximity that had one. And it was just after, you know, the journey, I started the journey after like a year or two into the journey. I don't know. I told one of the ladies that she's kind of like a mentor to me. And I said, till this day, I really don't know. I keep asking God, like, how did I get here? Like, where is this?
I have a lot to say.
Where is this coming from? Yeah. Like, you know, that I started it, but I'm willing to step outside of the box. I'm willing to access the unknown, even though it's scary. It's a very scary thing to do. But I think a lot of people, they're just complacent. They're just okay with where they are. And I just hope that my audience, like whatever they want to do, whatever you want to do, whether it's just being an excellent mom or being an excellent wife or being an excellent, whatever it is in your career, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever your gift is, the most important thing is that you master it. And in order for you to master it, you have to step outside of your comfortability. There is no way that you're going to shoot for the stars and be comfortable, because I promise you, every step of the way is going to be extremely uncomfortable. You're going to feel it. But if it's what you want to do, you're going to be okay. You're going to get there. You just got to constantly reassure yourself. And after a while, it'll just become norm to you. Just become a normal thing that you just
do. Yeah. And it's a muscle, right? The brain gets, the more, so when you're even coming out of your comfort zone, I do this a lot with goal setting with my clients, is even saying, take one thing at a time. Just take, because you want to kind of like, as you're moving out, you're telling the body, see, and then you're seeing the results. The brain now says, oh, we survived that. Okay, so this is normal for us. Okay, now we can do another one. It's going to give you the same sort of, because it's like taking a step up a stair. You're going to feel the freaking pain as you're going up because it's tiring. Yeah. So as you go up, you're going to feel it in the muscle. But then as you get there, your bulk and you're good to go. Your heart rate is amazing. Like, you're now there, right? So, but in the process of it, you're going to get the growing pains, is what they call it. It's a growing pain. And, but again, talking to somebody that's actually in the place of comfort, in the place of where they want to up level, but they're like, questioning whether this is enough. Maybe if I do it, and then really, if you really hear them, they'll kind of say, well, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if I'm going to be good enough for it. Maybe they're better than me. And then they've already said that already. People are already doing it. What am I going to do? You know, like, sort of like, that's when you know it's excuses being made, but they, in their heart, it's not what they're feeling. They're feeling so down because they're almost angry with, they're actually angry with themselves because they know that they could, there's a possibility for them. They're craving it. It's like their soul is telling them, just do it, just go, we got you. But then you've got the ego stepping in. We got to make sure we check everything. Oh my goodness. No, we don't know. We can't even see what's behind that mountain. Like, no, I think you need to stay here. It's a conversation that's going on in your body. Like, if you can relate, literally, that's what's going on, right? And
stop. Don't do it.
Don't even bother, because you're going to die. It comes down to it, and then you're going to die. Like, because it believes that's what you're doing, right? It doesn't know what's real and what's not. So affirmations, visualization, the mind doesn't know what's real, what's not. You can visualize yourself there already. You can visualize actually being in that state, having your podcast and the audience that you're talking to. Let's say we use you as an example. Really visualizing it and seeing yourself in that state, and then see things become a lot easier as you transition. And coming out slowly, taking one step at a time. You know, when you get to that point and say, I am beautiful, and you don't even feel like you're beautiful, of course you're not going to believe it. Your mind is be like, yeah, okay, whatever. We don't have that recorded in here, right? Because you got to build it. It's a muscle. You got to create that pathway. You got to create that belief. It's a new one, right? So you got to keep doing it. So looking in the mirror and actually looking and saying, I am beautiful. Even when I'm getting music and moving the body.
Oh, I love that. The
body is like just moving your sacral area. So even in African traditions, they have this sort of like where they move the waist, you know, like,
yes,
chakacha, right? So you move the waist, you know, in the Arabic culture, they do the same thing. They move, and these are for a reason, because we are divine feminine. We are, this is how we stimulate the sacral area, is where your creativity comes from. This area where the womb is, because you create there. So if that's stuck and it's in a place of stagnation, this is where the fear comes in. I'm not creative enough, I'm not good enough. But you move that and you shift things around and you let things start to flow in there.
Yeah.
Just watch yourself come up there and saying, you know what? I'm here, y'all. Listen to me. I've got something to say. You know, you literally start to feel beautiful. You feel beautiful from the inside, because now you're releasing endorphins, your dopamine, you're releasing that hormone that actually makes you feel divine. Because now the more the brain sees the feeling you're getting, the more it starts to give you more of it. It starts to release more of that. Oh, we are recording the belief of, I am beautiful, I am sexy, I love my body, I'm so comfortable in it. Oh my goodness, this is the message, you know, she's looking for. We're going to give more of that. You're giving it an order, and it's going to be giving you more of that. You've placed an order, and it's doing that. So find things, even a song that really speaks to you. Every time you listen to it, I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to get up and dance.
Yes.
That's not the song. It's something it's done to you, where you either connected to a memory, or it's just the beats that are doing it, where it's speaking to some parts of your body. You know, check out some African dances, like they do the movement in their waist. Arabic dances, they do a lot of also dance, yoga, there's healing circles with dance and music, like drumming.
I've never done that.
Yeah, drumming, they are starting because they're seeing they're starting to see the benefit of movement when it comes to the flow of the body and really tapping into the different like meridians and the chakras.
Oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, so you're moving your sacral area is a big part for women. That's where a lot of women get stuck, right? Which is like right above the pubic area, like where the womb is. So the reproductive system, that gets very, very, because it's traumatized, right? With maybe childbearing, you know, it's where basically our inner child lives. Our inner child lives in near there. It's in the inner child's in the root area, but the sacral area basically nurtures it. Right? And if that nurturing is not happening, then your root becomes affected, you know, and the root area is where, you know, where the sit bone is, like right at the coccyx area, anus, like that area. And then the sacral comes above it. So that's where we create, we procreate, we create life. And that's where we create ideas. That's what makes women so creative. They're very artistic. But when you are not tapped into that area, that's where you don't feel good enough. You don't feel like you're worthy enough. You don't feel like you're creative enough.
A lot of women are not.
No. So
a lot of women are not.
Your sacral area. If you need, you get a healer, let them work with it. You know, do yoga. Yoga is amazing. And they will tap into the different chakras where you can actually move that area. And they'll move it. They'll teach you how to do it. And that's all for a purpose because it flows in a certain way, right? And it's blocked energy. Energy needs to flow. And when we're feeling stagnant somewhere in our body, it's energy that's trapped there. And we just need to release it and let it flow out of us and through us.
So I had a thing at work recently where, you know, I bought this, like, you know, I work, I'm on my feet for 12 hours. I'm not just going to buy any pair of sneakers. I'm going to buy a pair of sneakers is going to complement me and it's also going to be comfortable for me.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so one of the nurses that I work with, she says, oh, you will pay that much money just to wear a sneakers like that and come to work? And I told her, I said, yes. I said, because I'm doing it for me. I work hard. I'm worth it.
Yeah.
Why won't I buy that to wear it for myself? And then the other nurse was like, she's our nurse. She's she does something else. She was like, oh, only people who are looking for a man will come to work and try to look cute. What? I'm not even thinking about a man.
No, that's the beliefs that they grew up with. That you need to do and dress a certain way to entice a man. That's the belief for generations. This is how we've been taught. And if you are doing it, like you're doing it to impress someone. So you feel yucky when you even put lipstick on and you come out and you're like, oh my God, who are you dressing up for? Where are you going? Like, you know, literally it's a belief system that our society has made us really, really told us that this is, the only time you dress up is because you want to lure someone in. You want to attract somebody. But that's exactly what she was saying. It's very much that it's a limiting belief within herself, that her belief is that this is why you do what you do. But you know better, and you just say, you know what? No, I am worth it. And if anyone likes it, I welcome it. I hope it inspires you to go and do the same for yourself.
Okay.
And just move on. It
doesn't make sense to me. I will have other people look at my feet and they will have an attitude. But you can do the same.
Yeah, and it comes down, it's because they want, a lot of times when you're irritated by somebody, it's either one, there's something within you that you don't like, or it's another thing is there's something about them that you want to be like.
Ooh.
It's always like that. It's never about you. It's always something within themselves that they hate about themselves. And then also they want something they look at, they wish they were like that. And they wish they could be more like that. So it's easier to tell somebody and put them down than for them to accept that about themselves. That, oh my God, it's coming from a place of I'm lacking. And it's always coming from a place of lack. You know, you're not coming from judgment too. You're not looking at them and saying, oh my God, like, wow, like that's, you got some issues. Because we also want to be very careful and kind of keep tabs on our ego as well. Because with knowledge, you can be, ego can really step in and say, see, I know better than you. I've done all the work.
Yeah, no.
No, you want to also look at them and say, Yeah, I know where that's coming from. I can see that, you know, I had the same beliefs before. And I know the insecurity. It's nothing judgmental. They're not trying to be. It is something within themselves that they were. So I know I'll do me. But at the same time, I hope they find their own inner fire.
You know, I just have a little bit of empathy. Because for you to, like, be really thinking that you have to be trying to lure someone in order for you to take care of yourself, to me, is really sad.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad. And plus, I am happy because I worked really hard to get to where I am today, mentally. I'm not talking about anything external. Just to be in a mental space where I like me. I love me. I worked hard to get here.
That's right.
So I'm just not going to allow anyone to come in and just kind of dump their negativity on and keep it moving. And then I'm left with it. No, you're not dropping off your baggage.
No, exactly.
It's collecting your baggage and going.
Yeah, and just basically not allowing that. And the more you cultivate where the belief of, I'm doing this for me, and it becomes very strong, you actually won't even hear those words around you anymore because the frequency will match. So there, a lot of times when you also get that from somebody, it's still some belief within you, yourself, that still feels, oh my God, what if people think I'm looking for somebody? Oh my God, because in our cultures, we've been taught that. So there may be a little bit of a speck in there still left where you feel guilty to even show up in a beautiful way, because somehow, am I allowed to do this? Is this okay to do it? You know, I had a client that said, I wish I could wear shocking pink lipstick because I feel so good when I wear it. But then if I show up at work, people are going to think, oh my God, am I going to a disco or am I going, like, it's automatic. She was starting to think because she couldn't be her creative self. She's a very creative person, but she was limiting herself because she was worried about offending other people. So when you come in with that vibration already, you're going to hear it because the universe, your brain is going to look for evidence. We have a reticular activating system in the back of our head right here that will look, as soon as you have a thought that that belief is sitting there somewhere that's been recorded, it will find the evidence around to kind of give you and confirm that this is what you believe. And it's not because it's doing it because it's malicious. It's because that belief is being, the belief in you has been activated, even if it's a little bit. So you were getting ready. You wore those beautiful shoes. You probably would have already believed in your mind that, oh my God, am I wasting money? Like, would people think I'm showing off? Like, it's subconscious. You may not even have thought it consciously, but subconsciously, that is still a belief that's sitting there that is slowly being depleted. It's slowly being erased. Not even erased, it's slowly being archived.
I didn't think about it when I was getting the shoes. I didn't think about it.
No, it could have been even at the moment where, you know, you were wearing it and just, there's, again, subconscious is always in the background without you even having the thought, right? Our thoughts come, it's always conscious. So we have stuff sitting in the subconscious that we don't even know what they are. And the only way we bring it up to life is when we ask that question, we get curious and we start to become the observer. This is the only way the subconscious will be triggered. So subconscious will play a big part during dreams, like at night when it will come out and will start showing you things like that, you know, like people say, I slept and I was so angry and I was yelling at my husband, why was I doing that? He didn't do anything, but it's that anger that probably something he did or some father figure or male figure did some, or like you just had an opportunity to really let that out. Because that was more internal to you, that feeling of self-worth, that you were not worthy, that this, that. So you used that character to basically let that out. So we have to remember subconscious are not things that we're even aware of. So that we create our reality, we project out, and we will be given the evidence to confirm what we're thinking is true. So how you basically change the evidence around you is by changing the thought. So I know I'm wearing these beautiful shoes because I love and I stand all day and I'm worth it and I love my body. I want to make sure I give it love by making sure it's taken care of. and making sure, and making sure all of that, right away you're building that, and all those people will not even say it. You won't even hear it. They'll even go right
through. I don't pay attention.
Yeah. And sometimes if you do hear, sometimes it's even a test to basically trigger that and say, wow, that may have been a belief years ago. I'm so happy that's not anymore for me. You know, and it's sad to hear that there's some people out there that are still thinking this way. But you know what? It's nothing to do with me. I know it has nothing. They have to take care of their own, and they're responsible. And I'm sticking with my lane, and I'm going to do what I feel is best for me. Yeah.
What is your one word of encouragement to my motherless daughters?
Self-love. To feel loved, you have to love. You have to know what that even feels like. And how you know how it feels like is you have to cultivate it within yourself. Or you'll be living a prisoner of it, constantly craving it, constantly creating contracts without people knowing you've created contracts with them, constantly having expectations. So you're living and suffering, and you're getting tired, and you're rinsing and repeating and rinsing. So my key word is find a way to learn how to love yourself. And if you need support, you get the support to teach you, if you need support to kind of unlayer stuff so that you can get right into your soul, which is where all the love is, where the heart is, to open up your heart. Because if your heart's also closed, love can't enter. You can't really, it's going to be difficult. So the whole healing process is to open your heart. And again, opening your heart by moving the body, that's physically, and then mentally you're changing your thoughts, you're making sure you're constantly feeding yourself positive thoughts every day. You're being in environments that are basically
healthy for you,
that are healthy for you. You're always being around people that are just like living in self-love, that are so non-judgmental, people that are willing to help you grow, that they're growing, you know. So you want to be in a certain place in your life, be with those type of people that are doing it. You know, you can't say, I want to be successful, or I want to have a positive mindset, and you're around people that are constantly negative. That is going to be a battle for you, because you're like, oh my goodness, I'm trying this. Then you're constantly going back into that loop again. So making sure your environment is conducive to that sort of whole process. So you're, a lot of that sort of shifts and changes are needed for you. But once you do it, it feels like as if you're ripping off a band-aid, but do it as slowly as possible. Get the support if you need it, and do the little things like, you know what, making sure that you're, surrounding yourself in that, starting with just like reading books that are like will inspire you, being in an environment and just the thoughts. And then if you need the support further, you can go and get that. Anything personal development related, spiritual development, working with the mindset, the energy body, working with manifestation. So not only now, once we've cleared up stuff, we're now going to find your purpose. What is it that you're meant to do? How do you figure that out? And how do you manifest the life wilder than your wildest dreams? Because it is so possible. We are evidence of that. We are evidence of being a place where we were abandoned, we were orphaned, and we went through a lot of suffering. And I want women not to suffer anymore. Women who are suffering, that you don't need to suffer anymore. You can feel pain, it's normal, but it's natural to go through pain here and there. But suffering is a choice. You can choose not to do that anymore, and I can help you with that. So my Instagram handle is iam.lifecoach. iam.lifecoach. And you can get some inspirational doses there, because I post every day. And my website is sambramarodan.com. And you can also find more information on my website and my packages and all that. But I will be announcing the group program. I'm hoping to announce that a month before. So keep an eye out. And if you're interested in that information, go onto my website and sign up, or even on my Instagram handle and sign up to my newsletter, because I will be announcing it to my mail list. And you can get that on my handle under the link tree on my Instagram handle, or you can get it on my website and you can sign up for the newsletter there. So I'm actually creating a group coaching program where it is, where I cover anything around personal development, spiritual development, so topics around that. So things like mindset, the energy body, feelings, and how to process that. And these are just a few topics that I cover: self-love, how to cultivate that, and you know, and many more. Even just goal setting, we're also going to have a module in there on how to set your goals and what it is that you're looking to basically create in your life and how to manifest that. I do have a lot of background. I've done courses on law of attraction and how to actually create that frequency within your body to manifest what it is you desire. So we go through the whole course. It is a group coaching session where we meet twice a week. One of the days we actually meet up. We meet up to learn the module. So I teach it. I go through like the same way we're doing right now. I teach it step by step. Then you're given homework, and you're given a nice workbook that actually gets you to actually put into action what it is you learned. And then the second half of the week, so we meet twice. So the second part is you're going to connect. We go through questions and answers, things that have come up, and also giving an opportunity to coach whoever is wanting to be coached, has a question, and I coach them on it. So I'm sort of impromptu coaching for them. So you get an opportunity to work one-on-one with a coach, but in a group setting. So in case, you know, for some women that are not able to afford that one-on-one sort of program that I actually have right now, it's a 3-month program that I work with women at the moment. I created this group program incorporating lessons within what I do with the one-on-one sessions, so that way you're able to also get the benefit and the value of it.
You know, this was very, I had a lot of like some really good moments that will stay with me, and things that I will apply in my life. And of course, I didn't know that I was already observing my thoughts. So that's now
that I'm conscious about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that I'm
now it's on purpose.
Yeah. So now I'm going to be like, okay, well, Zaina, why are you thinking like that? But another thing is just my quality time with God. That was kind of stayed with me, you know, and continue on your journey, doing what you do, and just helping others be amazing.
Thank you. And you do what you do by allowing women to have a voice. That is what you're doing. You're allowing us space to really speak our truth, to have a voice in this world. And I think that is one of the most powerful things, when you can give space for someone to do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll be keeping in touch and letting you know, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. You take it easy. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Kanute Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good, be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.